Wie schön, heute zum Weltfrauentag.
Ja, Nummer 8, Sonderfolge. Wir haben gedacht, wir greifen die Option mal bei Schopfe und laden die Keki ein, über die gerade hier ist in Deutschland auf Promotour bzw. ihren Film dreht. Und der liebe Jan, der bei der Deutschen Gesellschaft für internationale Zusammenarbeit arbeitet, hat gesagt, ey, ist das nichts für euch? Und dann haben wir gesagt, ja, wir laden die ein.
Genau, die Keki Attikari, um ganz genau zu sein, ist ein Bollywood-Star in Nepal. Schauspielerin, Sängerin, Model, Filmproduzentin, MBA in Wirtschaft. Mhm. Eine total beeindruckende Persönlichkeit.
Mhm. Sozialaktivistin?
Sozialaktivistin. Bei allem das Beeindruckendste und auch der Grund, warum wir sie am Ende eingeladen haben. Mhm. Obwohl auch ein ganz tolles Bollywood-Star mal hier in unserem Studio gehabt zu haben. Wir haben, glaube ich, noch nie so viele Fotos die ganze Zeit gemacht, ja. Ne? Von allen Seiten. Das war wichtig. Ja, das war ein ganz schönes Zusammentreffen, Interview, sehr inspirierend. Und wir haben uns überlegt, weil die eben so tolle Sachen sagt, wir wollen gar kein Voice-Over drüberlegen und das übersetzen, sondern hört euch das gleich selber an. Wir wollten euch nur noch kurz so ein bisschen in die Einführung geben, was sie so macht und worüber sie gleich so erzählen wird. Und den Rest lassen wir dann einfach gleich laufen.
Genau.
Das ja. spricht alles für sich, denke
ja,
ich. Ne?
Total, total. Ja. Weil wir ja auch immer unser Thema Frauengesundheit haben, hat uns das direkt so angesprungen. Keki hat so mehrere Projekte. Zum einen im Rahmen mit der GEZ zusammen einen Kurzfilm rausgebracht, das heißt Tackling Taboos. Da geht es nochmal um Menstruationsaufklärung. Wie ist das in Nepal? Was können wir ändern? Was können wir auf den Weg bringen? Und da hat sie uns nochmal total schön mit nach Nepal genommen und ja, erzählt, wie es da im Moment ist und was ihr Job ist, dass sie da viele, viele Dinge anschubst, dass das ein bisschen braucht, auch kulturell und religiös bedingt, aber dass sie da echt auf einem guten Weg ist und weil sie so eine Reichweite hat durch ihr soziales Netzwerk, erreicht sie da auch total viel irre Menschen. Also nicht die Menschen, genau, sie erreicht viele Menschen. Das ist total schön. Und ein anderes Projekt, wo sie auch von erzählt ist, sie ist gerade bei Dreharbeiten und Thema ist nochmal Zwangsheirat, was ja immer noch so ist in unterschiedlichen Ländern, auch in Nepal. Ja, und da erzählt sie auch nochmal ein bisschen drüber auf und packt es in Spielfilm. Mhm.
So. Mhm. Genau, den sie produziert und wo sie auch die Hauptrolle spielt.
Stimmt.
Und in dem Zuge hat sie sich die Haare rasiert und da hat sie nachher noch eine tolle Geschichte, die, ja, müsst ihr einfach reinhören. Es ist echt total spannend, was sie da zu erzählen hat. Was mich nochmal so berührt hat, ist dieses Wandlung findet mit dem Herzen statt.
Ja.
Ne?
Ja.
Also sie ist auf jeden Fall unterwegs und will Wandlung ins Land bringen und sagt, aber das ist aber nichts, was man jetzt irgendwie so schnell den Leuten aufobtruieren kann. Und es geht auch nicht darum, irgendwie den Alten vor den Kopf zu stoßen, die es immer schon anders gemacht haben. Und trotzdem glaubt sie aber, dass es wichtig ist, dass es die Wandlung geben muss, weil ja die Frauen halt nicht in einer guten Position sind und es denen mit ganz vielen traditionellen Begebenheiten da gar nicht gut geht. Mhm. Sie sagt aber trotzdem, die Wandlung muss vom Herzen kommen und dann kann die auch nachhaltig sein. Und das fand ich so ein sehr
schöner, bleibender Satz. Ne?
Ja, mhm,
auf
der
jeden
ist
Fall.
Mir so hängen geblieben.
Auf jeden Fall. Ich suche hier gerade noch mal, weißt du noch, dieses leckere, süße Teil, was wir gegessen haben?
Ja, genau. Die hat uns was ganz Tolles mitgebracht.
Wie hieß das? Ich guck mal gerade, ob ich es hier noch mal finde. Moment.
Also
so eine süße Paste mit Erdnüssen, Gundpak. Das wird wahrscheinlich anders ausgesprochen. Genau, das war total schön als Gastgeschenk. Da hat sie auch nochmal gesagt, das bringt sie jedem mit. Und ja, und sie hat sich auch echt wohlgefühlt, hat sie immer wieder gesagt. Ne? Also, dass sie hier sein darf und erzählen darf und ihre Message verbreiten darf.
Mhm.
Das war total schön.
Und war so ein bisschen traurig, dass sie genau vor Karneval wieder abreisen musste und hat schon gesagt, nächstes Karneval wird sie hier sein, weil sie kriegt ja schon hier die Vibes mit und ist total gespannt, wie das dann wohl hier abläuft. Also es war ein ganz schöner Besuch und wird uns auf jeden Fall in Erinnerung bleiben.
In diesem Sinne, habt ganz, ganz viel Spaß beim Hören. Wir werden euch noch weitere Links wie immer reinhauen, dass ihr noch mal ein bisschen, dass ihr den Film noch mal gucken könnt, Tackling Taboos und wie Kiki aufgestellt ist, wie sie vernetzt ist. Und ansonsten sind wir dann schon bei Nummer 9.
Genau.
Nummer 9 mit dem Thema, ja, da geht es um Thema Verlust. Und da haben wir gedacht, den würden wir uns auch gerne noch mal annehmen, weil das hat ja auch ganz viel mit Frauengesundheit zu tun. Wie wird man da aufgefangen? Was hat man da für Netzwerke? Wie geht man damit um? Und da freuen wir uns total, die Doro begrüßen zu dürfen und dann am 31.03. auf Sendung zu gehen. Und wie gehabt, erreichen könnt ihr uns oder Anregungen könnt ihr uns schicken weiter an mail@superkraft22.de. Genau. Über den Insta-Kanal. Und ja, wir freuen uns über Input.
Ja, auf jeden Fall.
Jegliche Art.
Jegliche Art. Alles klar.
Okay.
Dann jetzt viel Spaß mit Kiki. Und bis dann. Ciao.
Bis dann. Ciao.
Namaste.
Namaste.
Welcome.
Welcome here in Cologne. We're very happy.
Thank you so much. Here. Thank you. And thank you for the warm welcome and the warm socks.
You're welcome.
You are here today because you want to tell us about the incredible great project you are working on since October 2020.
Yeah.
Sorry. In your home country of Nepal. It's under hashtag Nepal's menstrual movement. Mm-hmm. You are campaigning for the elimination of the taboo on menstruation,
yes,
which is still very common in Nepal,
mm-hmm,
especially in rural areas. But before we talk about it, we would like to introduce you to our audience.
Okay.
If we were in Nepal, we don't have to do so, because you're a superstar.
Super, superstar.
A super, superstar.
Thank you.
A musician, a dancer,
mm-hmm,
a model,
yeah,
actress, mm-hmm, and film producer.
Yes. Wow.
Who has won numerous awards and has over 1.3 million followers, is it right?
Yeah.
On various social media channels, so... We have a lot to do for our future.
We have to. We have a challenge.
But that's not all.
Huh? Yes.
You're also one of the most educated artists in the Nepal movie industry. In addition to your career in show business,
mm-hmm,
you have an MBA in human resources management.
Yes.
And also a bachelor's degree in information management.
Yes.
Wow, that's a lot.
Oh, you really worked hard with the Wikipedia and Google. Yes, yes.
We have to know who we are talking about.
Yes, thank you.
It's a great respect for all of that, but it's even getting better because you have a goal and that's the greatest thing, I think. You want to empower women, mm-hmm, and girls in Nepal and show them that they have a choice.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's... That's a great thing, and we want to know a lot of about it. So, in this idea, you have a new role as a goodwill ambassador for menstrual, mm-hmm, health.
Yes,
right. Working with the Jaya Z.
Yep.
Implement support to the health sector program and the menstrual health and hygiene management partners alliance. You are raising awareness about the challenges which women and girls in Nepal continue to face during their monthly period.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And together you made a short film.
Yeah, we did.
It has a nomination to the WHO Film Festival, Health for All. Congrats to that, by the way.
Thank you.
The film is called Tackling Taboos,
mm-hmm,
and deals with the sensitive topic of menstruation. So exactly, what's the film about? Please tell us.
Okay, before I begin, firstly, I am totally distracted to see these two beautiful faces in front of me. So half of the things you said just went over my head. And thank you for the beautiful introduction, though. Just wanted to thank you for everything in total you said about me and about the projects that I am into. And it's such a beautiful world that there are a lot of beautiful people and beautiful work being carried out. And me standing, sitting here and talking about it is quite less of what I've done, I believe, because there are people who've really put their heart and soul into a lot of social works and talking about a lot of social issues and being there, standing there, putting everything, every priority to that level and keeping their personal stuff aside. So for me, I am just started. I've just begun in a zero level. And you okay?
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah. And regarding all the projects, I am first an actor. Yeah, of course. I act in movies. I am lucky enough that I am being able to carry out my passion as my career, which is acting. So through films and movies, you know, there's something beautiful about Nepal, that you get to travel to the rural part of Nepal, you know, and a lot of stories are from there. So you just go to be there in front of people, your people who make you a star. They give you the position, where the privileged position, where your voice matters and your voice counts, and there are people listening to you. Isn't that wonderful itself? And so I take that opportunity in actually saying good things, saying things that are to be said, and that are very useful and natural as human, to treat everyone as human in every possible conditions, be it in periods or non-periods. We are always the equal. So so the kind of taboos and misconception and stigma back in Nepal regarding periods is really sad, but it's progressing, which I would like to put here. Because you know, my mom used to share the stories to me, period stories to me, where she used to be away from her home, on family, on kitchen, on temple, you know. A lot of people in Nepal are Hindu, so I'm just keeping that regard in, as temple. But we are inclusive society. There are a lot of religions and we respect all the religions very equally. So yeah, so from that phase to my phase, and there are more generations coming up, so there are other progressive stories ahead. But with me, things have a little changed. So there's like, there are still taboos, but not as strong as when my grandmother, my mother used to face it. So we really need to thank people who are upfront and working on these issues, champions, creating awareness among people about why this taboos is not to be followed, why these kind of practices are really ill-harmed as humans. So yes, through my projects, like you said, Choice Is Yours, and Tackling Taboos, menstrual documentary videos, and a lot of other projects, we are trying to create awareness only. There's nothing more that we are trying to do, but just trying to change a single mindset a day, maybe. That would just mean a lot to us. And yes, before I begin, you were just curious about what I am holding in my hand. Okay, as a Nepali, this is a sweet called gutpak. Gutpak, can you say?
Gutpak.
Gutpak. It's a sweet dish made out of overcooking of milk, you know. It's so purely made, and it's like a souvenir to wherever I go. I just carry some sweets, and I just want the relationship and the conversation to be as sweet as possible now and in the future. So here I present this to both of you.
So kind of you.
Try it. Thank and you. Please give the review whenever we meet or wherever possible.
Oh, great.
You can try it if you want now. Yeah, it's a sweet.
Thanks a lot.
Yeah, we have to open it.
Cut this open and then later.
I think we need to cut it down because it's well chilled. Oh, you really need to have strong hand for that.
I need to cut. Need to cut it.
Let me help you with the. Okay.
Schere?
Yes. Ah, I am good at it.
Ah, very good.
Okay, so a little bit of it so that you give
it's very
it
sweet. It's very sweet.
It's very sweet, but you love it.
And with nuts, or what's the white nuts?
Yeah, there are some nuts just to give enhance the taste of it. Quite sweet.
Ah, it's cool.
Quite sweet, yeah. But it's really, really good. And very famous back in Nepal. So whenever you get to visit Nepal or you're traveling from Nepal to somewhere, this is one thing you can give it to your friends and family.
We have to remember that.
Good pack. Yeah.
Thank you very much.
When Kato and I sat together and we had the opportunity to meet you.
Thank you.
We were wondering about how you get out of all this, like the taboos, and you were kind of privileged, or you have a very modern mother or grandmother. How does it rise from there to that you're sitting here?
I would not say that I am already in a privileged position where I am not part of that taboo or stigma anymore. I am still there, but I am a work in progress. And that's what I'd like to say to everyone, because the cultural side of it is very intrigued and very much deep inside that, you just cannot get out of it so easily because you do not want to offend your elders, your elderly mother, grandmother kind of thing, where these taboos are so deeply engraved, and slowly but surely you will get there. So do not rush is what I want to say, because sometimes when you bring about the change so instantly, it's really difficult for people, your loved ones, to adapt to it. So just go in there slowly, but do it is what I want to say. And I'm that one example where still visiting temples in periods is like a stigma at my own home. And I do not want to hurt my grandmother, so I just I try to convince, I try to say things, but yet I'm not fully into practice. I'm working on it. And we should not be in rush in bringing about the drastic change, because change is something that is inevitable and has to be in a slower process for people to, easily grab it and accept it by heart, because it's very important. Because there are some changes that you accept, but your heart does not. But the system changes sometimes. The political things changes, weather changes, and you adapt to it slowly, but your heart is not there. But when in such social practices, taboos, your heart should be strong enough to accept that these are not right for us or my children's or for any generations. So this has to be avoided. And then that mindset is something that can only be changed in a slower process.
Are you also criticized? Is there
not public, much? No? Not much, because everyone deeply knows that these are ill practices. It's just that it's like it's so much connected to your religion, so much connected to your culture that you cannot easily come out of it. That's the only thing. For example, we just had conversation with my peer last evening, and we were saying that everyone knows that your room has to be clean. Everyone knows that your temple has to be clean, your toilets has to be clean, but we are sometimes, so lazy enough to not do it. So everyone knows that these taboos are not good for anyone. Everyone knows it, but in practice, people are little, reluctant or, not much, they don't feel it's quite comfortable to accept it at once.
You just saw the film, of course, and there were the young girls in school. Is it easier to catch them with the idea of not tabooing it anymore, because they are young, they don't have all these years of doing it like it was all the time? You know what I mean?
Things are difficult in some parts of Nepal still, because there's this ill practice of chaupadi, if you have heard it. That's something that refers to when a girl has her first period, first ever periods, when she goes through menstruation, she is kept long away from her home, and she lives in a cow shed.
We read about this.
Cattle shed, and then for a week time she's not allowed to come out of it, not to see the sun, and her clothes that or whatever she uses in her periods, during her periods, are not to be seen by anyone. So she just, you know, tries to dry it inside, which is so unhealthy, you know. Sun needs it, and there are no good access of pads, and, you know. So all these things, this Thaupadi practices and all, everything is still there in some parts of Nepal. But what I'm trying to clear here is that slowly the generation that are coming up know that these are real practices, and which is an achievement in itself, because previously we didn't know about it. We as a person, no matter we were taking a formal education, but we used to follow it. But now the generation is changing. They know that these are not good. So they're trying to convince their parents, convince their grandparents about why this should not be followed. And I will not be the one following it. So yeah, the change is there, but it will definitely take some time to break, you know, what you have been following for years.
And because of social media, you have, I mean, you can reach the young girls. I mean, that's changing. And I think your grandmother, I think she was not that used to the social media thing than the young girls. So, yes. I mean, it's, and you can go all over the country with social media and all over the world. I mean, that's true. Really, really great.
So, yes, this technology that has developed as internet has really made the heads turn, or, you know, that has been a shift in, a, you know, the whole system. So as a goodwill ambassador, it's very easy for me to convey what I want to convey, because everyone has access to internet all over Nepal, almost all over Nepal. I would not say it all. And it's still a luxury for some. It's not yet basic thing for a lot of people in Nepal, because, you know, because of the other social circumstances and economic part playing the role. So whoever is in access to internet, they know what I want to speak. They have the following words to it. They comment back, and they idolize someone so much that they think that the credibility is there. You know, they think whatever I'm saying is right. So it's a lot of responsibility on the soldier to speak right. You know. To change the mindset, saying the right words without offending anyone is very important. And that's all I'm trying to do through the social media. And beautifully, all the campaigns are being watched, and all the projects are being appreciated all over the world, which is a good part. But at the end, the impact and the change has to be there in the ground level. Just not should be the talk of the society, because it was always there, you know. So the change has to come within, from the ground, is what I believe in. So we just go out there. Because of the COVID circumstances, we could not be there in person. But now, but now, since I am still a goodwill ambassador for menstrual health and hygiene, I really believe this year I can go in person and talk to them, listen to their period stories, listen to their pain, you know, that comes with it. And maybe just be able to change their mindset, change the family's mindset towards periods and stigmas.
And does go the tackling taboos of menstruation, does it goes along with, I mean, sex education? I mean, when you talking about menstruation, you also talking about sex education, and also including the boys. How does it work?
Yes, it's quite tricky, because like menstruation, sex is also a topic of taboo there. They do not feel comfortable talking about it. But the younger lot, the younger generations are so forward. The internet has made it so easier for them to really talk about it. But still, yeah, there's a lot to be done. And while we go out and educate or aware about the menstruation, yes, like you said, it comes in hand about, you know, it's just interrelated, how important it is and how pure of blood it is. While you are you have been considering it impure all these years, see what myth we are living in a bubble where we were taught wrong. So see, this is the right thing. And then happily, the good news is that the boys also participate equally, and they think this is even their issues, even they also take it as a pride and, you know, dignity. They take it in a dignified order such that they help their girlfriends about, you know, buying a pad and openly sharing, talking about it, and also helping their girlfriends talk to principal or the teachers about, you know, what cramps or whatever they are going through. And also they have been joining hand in hand. They have been making a school community groups, you know, so that they make sure that the girls do not miss the school because of the periods. And there are good water and toilet facilities there for girls to ensure that they are in safe hands while they are in school. So yeah, this kind of things are happening. Perfect. And this is really a good news for us. Yeah,
good to hear.
Yes.
I'm a midwife, as you know.
Yes.
So midwifery, because midwifery, I mean, more the birth, they go along with a lot of blood. I mean, not a lot, I mean with blood,
of course.
So,
yes.
And is this changing too? I mean, is, or does it make a difference, the menstruation blood and the birth blood? Is there a difference, or is there taboo too?
There is, like I said earlier, that these things are interconnected. So less of a taboo, I would say, about the delivery thing, because people back in Nepal embrace motherhood and they take pride of, you know, said they celebrate the motherhood so much. And the word mother, like in all the other parts of the world, is celebrated, is loved dearly, and is like part of, a big part of who they are. That is considered back in Nepal, because we call our country motherland. Because it's a mother. So yeah, somehow they really take pride in that, and they appreciate the motherhood, the delivery time so well. It's celebrated, but not as much as, you know, what happens in out of the country. They are like, they do not talk much about it, but the celebration is there inside. So less of a taboo than menstruation, but still not celebrated and talked as much as it should be. Like, yes. But it's not considered impure blood, menstruation.
Okay. And they're giving more birth at home or at the hospital, or in a kind of, and they have any kind of help, like the mother or the grandmother or the aunt?
Yes. Outside Kathmandu, the capital city, stories are a bit different. Also, depending on the economic and social status of a person, these things vary much. In Kathmandu, most of the hospital services, you know, they take medical help services prior from the day they have conceived a child, you know, till the delivery time. So there's always medical help, and people very conscious and very much take care of the pregnant woman. But in a rural part, they are still working so much at that period, and sometimes overly working, and the intensive care that they require at that time, they may not get it. But yes, sometimes, like you said, the family members and the elderly people, they just give assistance to them. But yes, there's still, you know, some sort of gap to be filled. There are a lot of, sadly, there are a lot of maternity deaths, death rates, the infant death rates that's still happening in Nepal, because they do not get the timely care and timely medical help because of the transportation and the economic issues. So yes, it's still there, but things are changing. This is how I would like to put on, because things are really changing. That's why. In Kathmandu, things are very easier, and they're given good care by all of the family members, all of the medical persons. It's like your special period of your lifetime, so you know, they make sure that you are comfortable, you're in good mindset, and they're taken care. Also depends on an individual, you know, sometimes. What kind of partner do you have? What kind of family members do you have? Or how are you as a person also makes a difference in all this. Mm. Yeah. Mm.
They don't have midwives there, or do they?
Not much. Yeah, they, outside Kathmandu, yes, there are midwife services. They just come to home, they give care, and the delivery is also done at home, you know, also in the special cases where the due date, before due date, you deliver a child, and there you need someone like them. Mm. But otherwise, in Kathmandu or in the urban places in Nepal, they prefer going to hospitals and they mm-hmm. prefer getting help there. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You're traveling to Europe now also for your new film, Bokshi Koga, is that right?
Yes, we... Yeah.
Yeah, perhaps please tell us about.
So Bokshi Ko Ghar in Nepali means the house of the witch. Okay. So through this film, this is a beautiful story, you know. This is a story of a young child, of an eight-year-old girl child who goes through a lot of events in her lifetime that she is at the end pushed into such a situation where... she ends up being a witch, you know, just the term that the society uses for her. And it's such a painful circumstances that she goes through, you know, she has to, she's forced into child marriage at her early age, you know, she has to quit her education and she just gets married in her early phase and then her husband dies because of some, you know, accidental circumstances, and she is blamed for it, where a lot of such stories are there in Nepal. And this film is based on true events. For example, all the true events that came in the newspapers, we just mm-hmm. caught it and we just tried to connect all the stories, and a beautiful story is there, which represents the condition of women in some parts of Nepal, where, you know, slut-shaming, and, you know, its intense form is like the witch shaming, where a powerful woman, because of the patriarchy and the condition in Nepal, she the power of her is tried to, you know, just people try to drag her down. And she ends up being having a very, very heart-wrenching life, I must say. And so this events, we are trying to show it through this film, and I've just produced it myself. I'm also playing the lead actor in the film, and this is a dream project, and this film is still in post-production phase. It's not released yet. So we've just completed the shooting for 2 years. You know, I just went bald for the same film. Okay. I just shaved my hair. And back in Nepal, shaving a hair by a girl is itself a big, big thing, because that does not naturally happen. And also, the field I'm in, the glamour field, you know, where hair is given mm-hmm. so much of importance mm-hmm. for a heroine. Mm-hmm. All the characters are mm-hmm. written, mm-hmm. explaining about how beautiful her hair is and how beautiful she looks with this hairstyle. So for a year or so, I was jobless because I had no hair.
I know.
Yeah. Right. And this story is, yeah, something
but I was so impressed, sorry, because in the other film, you showed the girls, no? That you have a...
Yes. And that is something that people don't do, because if because of any circumstances, you just go bald, you try to hide it in public place. Mm-hmm. You do not show it. Mm-hmm. So through that, what I'm trying to say is that sometimes... we do not judge men shaving their hair or going bald. Mm-hmm. You do not consider the person sick. You do not consider the person being having some tragedy or something like that. But when it comes to a girl, a woman, then we judge them. You know, mm-hmm. it's a social experiment that I mm-hmm. went through. So people were just like, "What happened to you? Is everything okay? Are you sick? Are you going through a tragic phase?" So you're... you know, sometimes you can just make a choice of going bald.
Yeah.
So choice is all yours. Make your own choice in your life without any social judgments or prejudice, you know, that comes through. So through that story, I'm not trying to say that go bald, but I'm just trying to say that if you want to go bald, just go bald. Yeah. It's okay. Yeah. You don't need answers for that. You don't need to explain it to people or the society. Just do what your heart desires. It has to be right. It has to be, it should not harm anybody. But if you feel like doing it, do it. You do not need a man's approval for doing a lot of things, or society's approval in doing a lot of things. So this is what I'm trying to say. And the film gave me that strength. The film gave me that opportunity to go through that social experiment for a year time. Mm-hmm. And, that's amazing. I want to share one story with you. During COVID time, I just went bald and people were like, okay, what has happened to her, kind of thing. And then we were in lockdown. We were not allowed to go out of our home. My neighbor delivered a girl child, such a dear one during that period. And we were so much interconnected at the time because that was the world you were in, the neighbors, you. And then you were like so much in communication with them that you are attached. Otherwise, you were always busy and you do not get to connect to everyone's story. So there I was connected to her and she started blabbering some word after a few times. And she's like, when she got to know about a man and a boy, like she used to call men brother and sister to, the girls. And then I was bald and I never wore any, hair, artificial hair or wigs at that time. I just used to be a very however I am to people. And I just went in front of her and she's like, brother all the time. And her mother used to be so embarrassed. And she was like, no, she's sister. And then she's like, brother. So that's a newborn child. See what kind of stories we are saying her in her early time, that if someone has hair, you're connecting gender with hair. And it's so shame for us as a society that we are teaching that to a newborn, a child. And it was really one story I always wanted to share because that is not the thing. A hair should not determine gender of a person. So yes, I just wanted to share that to you because we all are girls and we can connect to it, So yeah.
Even if we have no hair.
No hair or hair does not determine,
Doesn't depend.
Strong story. And thank you for that.
Thank you. And do we get the chance? I mean, how can we see you, connect to you? What can you just tell me about this? I mean, go on any kind of social media or
yes, I'm all over the social media. So I have Instagram account, Twitter account with the same name, KEKI KEKI ADHIKARI. So just go through the verified account only, the blue tick. You can see it there. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you can just get a lot of other fake accounts with the same name. So just go with the verified blue tick. Okay. And I'm all over Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, also Facebook. And what others do we have? I think TikTok, whatever. I'm all over there.
Okay.
We can connect. We can share each other's stories. We can just empower each other in whatever way possible. And let's just work together for the greater good, for the betterment of a human civilization is all I could say.
Perfect.
Thank you.
Great. A lot of new impressions.
Powerful. A very warm power from you.
Thank you.
To feel.
And I think you're really a great person to empower your folks in Nepal. I think you.
Everyone's trying.
But
really, really grateful that you invited me here and wanted to share my story with you all. And you have been a good medium for me to communicate with maybe other people through you, through this platform. So I'm really thankful to you. I'm thankful to Yan. I'm thankful to everyone who connected me to you. Thankful to ZIZ, because as a Goodwill Ambassador, I could be here. I am attending a lot of programs and, There's also one audition happening, if you know about it, the dance reality show that I am judge of. It's called Mero Dance Universe. That's the biggest reality show ever in Nepal, with the cash prize of, what do you call it, like 100 million, 1 crore in Nepali. Okay. So we will calculate it later.
Yeah.
And yes, I would like to invite all the Nepali-speaking people, if you're listening to me, to just be part of this big program. If you are really passionate about singing or dancing, there are two programs happening. And through these programs, we're trying to communicate how culture is so important and part of our life. Mm-hmm. But the change is really required, if there is to be, and also how your own language really is your own, is your introduction to the world. So just preserve it, and how important culture, language, and your own festivals, your own dance forms are. So yes, we're trying to communicate that to all the Nepalese all around the world and bring them together in one single garland, you know, through music and dance. So let's just communicate. And thankful to everyone who's been really kind to me through this journey. While I'm here, everyone's been so kind, so welcoming. I'm not missing my home. You're making me all feel like I'm in my another home. And everyone is treating me really, really well. So I'm thankful towards everyone. And yeah, looking forward to more good days ahead. And also, yes, keep in touch, and we'll communicate more and more with the lot of other projects that we all are part of. And we would love to share it back in Nepal too. Thank you.
Great.
Thank you. Thank you, Keki. So have a good time and safe journey back. When are you going back?
I'll be back to Dubai on 16th, where we have this audition again, all the Nepalese over there. And then on February 21st, we're going back to Nepal. Oh, yes. Unfortunately, we're having this conversation on Valentine's Day. I don't know when today, while we're recording it, it's Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
It's all about love and light. Yeah. So just spread it. You know, it's not about just getting the love from others. It's about that being inside you and spreading it through positivity and love and light, you know. So yes, I'm really thankful that we are having this conversation in this auspicious day.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank a lot of love.
Yeah.
Thank you.
We start two new friends.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Superkraft ist eine Idee von Katrin Rindfleisch
und Alexandra Kosma.
Musik und Mischung Alex Papatheodorou,
Beratung Sascha Schiffbauer.